Amen. I thank God for life on today. I thank God for strength. Of course, we all are busy every day of the week. Amen. But I thank God for just keeping us, amen, in our right mind. But tonight we're going to be talking about securing God's love. Romans 5:5-11. And I'm going to start with 1 and read down to 11. Amen. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patient experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For sacredly for a righteous man will one die, yet preadventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from worth through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Amen. You can have your seat. Amen. And talking about securing God's love, Pastor Whistle wanted me to teach, and he said, teach about love. I had something totally different. And he said, teach about love. I said, okay. For some of us, love is easy. For some of us, love may be hard. But we're going to get an understanding on love. Amen. Why? I'm going to ask a question. You don't have to answer. Why can we be confident that God loves us? Anyone wants to answer that? Why or how can we be confident that God loves us? Because he said it in his word. Amen. Amen. Oh, let me break it down even farther. How are you confident that your spouse loves you? Yeah, answer. Anybody, come on, we got Deacon Hendry, Deaconess Avery, come on.
I would say, like I always say, love is a verb. It's an action word. So by your actions, by the things that you do, not just by what you say. And just like in his words are way more than words. It is spirit, it is life, it's power.
Amen. Deacon Hendry.
Shouldn't even be forgiven, but yet he show his grace. And when you give your life to Christ, you feel a change. You feel something inside you, like a big hug. So it becomes real to you. So you just know, you know, nobody can take that away from you. And so it's solidified in your faith.
Amen. Deaconess, did you want to say something else? Minister.
I'm secure that God loved me because I wouldn't send my only son to die for somebody over and over and over again and reject them over and over and over again. So he sent his only son to stand in place for us over and over and over and over again, even some to their deathbed. So I'm secure God loved me because he sent his most prized possession, I think, for us, for me.
Amen. Anyone else? Amen. All of us at one time or another have felt that God has distanced himself from us, or feel like that, or absence, that he's not there, that everything we're going up against, it just feel like God is not there. And you guys gave perfect answer, because God loves never fails. And if we ever feel that God is not present or God is absent, it's not that God has removed himself from us. It's that we've removed ourselves from him. And so we got to understand, God's love is forever. Like Minister said, he gave his only begotten son to come to show us that he cares enough, to show us how we can live in a world of sin and still make it to the cross. Amen, regardless of what we come up against. So God's love never fails. So put this thought in your head. How did you start feeling confident that God loves you? How and when? Just a thought. Think of it. Did you feel confident that God loves, that God really loves you? Most of the time, we always want to equate that with something great that's going on. That's how we know that God loves us, because some great miracle has happened. We getting this big fat check in the mail, or everything, we wake up, everything is good, health-wise, children-wise, finance-wise, and all of a sudden we just want to say, we feel like God is there. Things are being answered. But what happens when that is not happening? When something is coming up against us? Amen. Yes, ma'am. Mother, you have some.
When I felt like God loved me was when I gave my life to him. That was the best feeling that I had ever felt. Felt like all the weight that I was carrying was removed. I just felt it when it just fell off. And that's been my testimony.
Amen. Amen. Sister Sanders, you have some?
I would say that not only his forgiveness, but his blessing, because he doesn't have to, he had, for me, he hasn't had to do.
Amen. Amen. And I like what Mother said, you know, when she gave her life to Christ, that's how she knew that God loved her. And granted, when we all came up and we got saved and we said we want to live a life for Christ, and some of us, not everybody, may have went back and did some unruly, godly things. Amen. But we quickly got it together. But I may be going ahead of myself, but when the Holy Spirit came alive in my life, and I knew how to operate with the Holy Spirit, that became real to me. And I didn't have a desire to go back and do the things that I did prior to. You know, so being a child of God and knowing who Jesus is and who God is, allow the Holy Spirit to resonate in your life on a daily. It surpasses all other negativity if you just operate with the Holy Spirit. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. If you operate with the Holy Spirit, that's God love all by itself. And once you realize who you are as a child of God, when something comes up against you, you'll know how to carry yourself. And why do I say that? Because old things are passed away. Behold, it becomes new. So with that being said, no matter what you were back in the day before you got your life together, when that comes back to your forefront, if you really have sold out and given your life truly to God, then it's old and it never enter in again, because it has passed away. And when the devil brings that back to your attention again, you stand with the Holy Spirit and say, not today. And you allow something new to come alive. And the more you do that, the better your days become, the better your hours become, the better your walk become, because then you don't have to wonder who is looking over their shoulder and looking at you, seeing if you're doing or saying or acting some kind of way that is not of God. So you have to know how to operate as a woman or a man of God and go strong in that on a day-to-day basis. That's God love. And that's how we demonstrate God's love to the world. Amen. Everybody is not, I'm not going to say everybody, not from, anybody originally a native of Colorado? No? So all of us came from somewhere else to Colorado. If we went back to our home state, amen, or our hometown, around our family, they, what would they see? What would they say? How would they be calling you? How would they get into your presence? How would they address you? How would you act in the midst of them? Just think about it. And being a true woman or man of God stands boldly before whatever, past, present, future, whatever. You stand boldly and profess who God really is in your life. That's how you become a witness. Amen? Any more questions? Comments? Amen. So when we feel confident in knowing that God loves us, or even when we don't, number one, what we should do, look what he did for us, his scars. If you ever get to a place where you think God doesn't love you, just think about the scars he obtained on the cross. The Bible tells us while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. While you was in sin, you wasn't thinking about him. You weren't considering him. He wasn't on your forefront. He wasn't even nowhere around you. You, while you was out there doing whatever you was doing, Christ died for you. Amen. So think about the scars that he took just for you. I often think about it. Jesus came from heaven to earth to obtain the things that we're going through now. He showed us that we can go through it, amen, and still live a life of Christ. Amen. Being talked about, being ridiculed, being beaten, amen. All the things. Come on, any of us and came from heaven to earth to live that life would be like, come on, take me back. Because the little things we go through now, we're ready to fight. We're ready to go back to our old man, put on what they say, used to say, zip up my church suit. How do you spell it? Zip up my, I can't even think of it right now, but revealing your bad and covering up your good is pretty much what they would say. Because you're going back to your old man to show them what you're all about. Amen. Just think about that. It, the smallest thing we go through, we're ready to leave God in the church. No matter what, it's the tiniest little things. Whether it's in your marriage, whether it's with your children, whether it's in your on your job, whether it's in the church, whether it's in the streets, at the grocery store, we still ready to go off on somebody, to be mad. But Jesus came here to show us how we're supposed to betray God here on earth. And we can't go through the small things. It becomes something big. We blow it up all out of proportion, making something that it really ain't, because now you're in your feelings, because somebody done said something, somebody done looked at you some kind of way, somebody done acted some kind of way, and now you just ready to zip up that Holy Ghost suit that you ain't even operating in ever to go show them. Because if you were, you don't have to zip it up. You could just walk in it. Amen. Just walk, even in the grocery store. Amen. The cashier may have looked at you wrong. You don't know what's going on in their life. But we're a representation of Christ. And in the midst of that, we're supposed to show them love. Regardless of us being tired, frustrated, trying to rush in, trying to rush out. On your job and everything went wrong that day, we're still supposed to portray Jesus. Because somebody is looking and watching who you are and what you're saying. Amen? You're being an example for him. So when we ever feel that God doesn't care for us, just think about the scars. How many scars you got on you and you still remember where they came from? Amen? And every beating that you felt you got wasn't nothing compared to the one that Jesus took for us. Amen? Number two, amen. If you ever feel not confident in Jesus' love, amen. Look at what he told us, the promise. The second reason you can be confident of God's love, even in the most difficult of situations, is because he prepared us. John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Why is this particular passage so important? Why is this particular passage, John 16 and 33, so important?
It gives you a way out to let you know that in this world, he's telling you, like, you're going to have trouble, but I overcame it. I'm the example. So, and then it get backed up with 1 Corinthians 1:13, where it tells you, like, you're not alone. I'll always make a way of escape for you. So don't think that you're going through this by yourself. Other people are going through it. If I went through it and I stripped myself of my glory and I feel the infirmities that you feel, I'm telling you that you're going to overcome it. Just stay obedient and just trust in me.
Amen. Anyone else?
You can go back to this scripture. It's conflict management. Anytime you have an issue, conflict within yourself, conflict within your marriage, family, friends, we can always go back to this because God has cleared a path for us. Like, why take another path when there's a one that's already been cleared for us? Just take the easy way, which is Christ. He's already overcome the world, so we can rest in assurance with that.
Amen. Anyone else? Yes.
Christian doesn't mean storms and tribulation don't hit your house. He's saying, hey, he's pretty much saying, hey, these things are going to happen, but however, already beat it, already overcome. This is your blueprint, this is your cheat code, and hey, just follow the cheat code, follow the steps, and follow me, you'll be fine. But like I said, as a Christian, just because you're a Christian, things just don't miss you because of that. It ain't all about roses and daisies and all that. You're going to go through some things, because I went through it. So yeah, he overcome it. So when he overcome, he already beat it, so it's already done.
Amen. Anyone else? Why is it that, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, so because he in us, we already know the victory is ours. They already said about it.
They didn't hear you on the Zoom. Amen. Why is it when we're going through something, we feel like we're the only one that's going through?
Yeah.
And it's so hard that we got tons of bricks on our back and we can't barely make it. We don't want to hold our head up. We don't want to walk straight. We don't want to look straight. Everything is just wrong. Because you're in your flesh and in your feelings and oh, it is me. You want somebody to pat you on the back. I'm a little weird when it comes to stuff like that. Like when stuff going on, I don't want no attention. Absolutely no attention. So y'all will probably ever literally not know if there's something wrong because I think the attention that people give is toxic. And for me, the more somebody giving it to you, the more you react to it like a baby. Like the more you say, come on, Johnny gonna be get up and walk and start. But the more you give it to them, the more they're gonna cater to it. And you pat them on the back, and as long as you're doing that, that's good for them. And that's how we get. We get in our feelings, and it's okay. Are you okay? Are you all right? We thrive for that. We want that. And there's nothing wrong with it because sometimes some people do need that. But sometimes you got to pick yourself up and get the moving, especially if you're in Christ and you live a life of Jesus. Amen. And you got to realize today is today. It happened. Let's get the moving. We're going to rise up above this. There's moments that you want to cry out and scream out and yell, do all those things. But wash your face, pick yourself up, and keep it moving. Keep going forward. Every time something happens, every time a situation occurs, we step 10 steps backwards. And then it takes us 35 steps to go back forward. Because we done stay back in our upset and anger for so long, we don't know how to come out of it. And we always want to stay in that shell, be that turtle in that shell, don't want to come out and experience and go through. And the trials and tribulation and the things we go through supposed to make us stronger, not weaker. Amen. It's supposed to make us better, not bitter. It's supposed to become a testimony. Amen. To somebody else, to let them know that if I went through it, you can go through it. I came out of it, you can come out of it. I love Mother being here because that 82 years of wisdom is amazing. We need that. We need that. Amen. They want to call us a young church, a young church, a young church. That's all right. We done been through some things. We done seen some things. We experienced some things. Amen. And we're here to let you know that you can too. You can come out of it, whatever you're in. You have to know and understand that. Amen. Get up, wash your face, and keep it moving. Amen. I always think about when every new year comes in, and I don't do a New Year's resolution, but I do a self-examination. And I always examine to see how my year has been, and did I improve any at all in that year? Amen. And so much come against us that we think about all the bad things that came up against us, and then you can think about all the things that stopped you from being what you needed to be. Amen. And we got to keep it moving. So examine yourself in a 30-day period, in a 2-week period, in a 5-day period, in a 6-month period, in a 90-day period, and keep increasing for more, because that's what it's all about. That's how we show God's love. Amen. It's to keep increasing and giving and doing the things that God has called us to do, not staying stagnant in one place. Anybody working a job in a position, amen, and you start out at the bottom, eventually you're going to want to work your way up. Now, some people like just staying in one spot. They just like it. But there's no pay raise, no pay grade, no change, no nothing. You just work in that 9-to-5 and you become that flunky. You're going to probably start working the weekends. You're going to work long hours because you don't want to increase. You don't want to improve. You don't want to do anything. They're going to keep using you in that area. But most of us, when we get a job, we want to keep increasing in that position. Because the better you increase, the more pay you get, the more accolades you get, the more stability you get, amen. Then you can come in and do your job and tell somebody else what to do. That's what most of us like doing anyway. And not even knowing what to do themselves. Just like to put somebody out doing stuff anyway. But learn how to grow even in the household of God. We shouldn't be still sitting in the same seat Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, doing the same old thing and no growth. If you've been in the ministry anywhere over 90 days or more, there should be some type of change. Amen. If you're in leadership anywhere in ministry, there should be some type of change. Especially if you're up under that man of God and what he putting out, you are supposed to be leading that out to the congregation. We're supposed to be doing that. That's the work that we're supposed to be doing. As he put it out, we're supposed to be going out and working it. Amen. Now, when Sister Cantaloupe, can you please get up and do this? You already know, Sister Cantaloupe, what you should be doing. You just refuse to do it until somebody asks you. Then you act like you're on the spotlight then. You don't arrived. But everything we do, if we do it unto God and we do it honestly unto God, amen, God gets the glory from that. And that's how you increase and go forward and keep doing the things of God, because you're not trying to get the appreciation from a man, but from the man. Amen. And you keep growing and you keep getting more knowledgeable and keep doing the things of God, because you're understanding what your position is in the household of God. Amen. And you're becoming that person that God wants you to be, so you can be that witness. Amen. Amen. Why don't we bring our kids to church and we just let them sit there and do nothing? Where's God loving it? How are you portraying God love there? If they're able to sit at school for 6 to 8 hours in a classroom and they're learning, and you expect for them to learn their mathematics, their ABCs, their all of these things that help them on throughout their life, amen, that's why they got grades, because they go from one grade to another grade. I think Obama done messed it up and said no child left behind. That's the wrong thing that they should have never done, because these kids ain't learning nothing. But if they're learning in a school that you get up every day and faithfully make sure they go to, because when my kids say they sick, if they ain't throwing up, if they ain't got no fever, you're getting dressed and you're going to school. If the teachers don't call me, you're fine. You're okay. Amen? We send them every day. And we expect for them to learn once they're in there. But we get them here to the household of God, and we ain't teaching them nothing. We ain't bringing no notebooks in. I told my grandson, write down something that is being taught. And we can, something is catching your eye. And then we could talk about what's going on, because they could tell you everything about TikTok. You know, so we gotta teach them so they'll be able to know, amen? That's the love of God. Any questions or comments? Amen. So, because he told us, I asked a question, why is this particular passage so important? And we went all the way around and everybody had great answers, amen? So let me give you mine. Because he told us and prepared us for what would happen. He let us know that there would be some bumps along the way, but don't worry, because he would be with us to carry us through them. This is proof of God's love, amen? So just know and remember and understand, no matter what we've been through or going through, no matter how big or how great it is, God is with you. If you, no matter what, even the sinners of sinners, God is with them. They just got to know and understand that God is with them, amen? Number three, look at what God has prepared us. First, you got to look at the scars. Second, I said you got to look at his promises. Now you have to look at what he has prepared for us, which is heaven, which in eternal life. Amen. You can see the greatest motivating factor behind God's love for us is because the greatest motivating factor of God's love is because he is preparing us for eternal home. He has prepared an eternal home for us. What we need to realize is God's greatest desire is to be in fellowship with you, and not just for this life, but for all eternity. This is the reason he sent Jesus as the sacrifice for our sins. He opened the doors so that all who would believe in him would have eternal life. For all eternity, God will express his love on those who have chosen to believe in him. You have not experienced the full measure of God's love, but because of Jesus, we have all eternity to experience it. Amen? You have to know and understand that Jesus died for us. And God has prepared a life for us in eternity. And only to obtain it is to keep living that life of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we'll obtain that. Amen. And I think that is, for me, growing up in the church of God in Christ, I think they put that big fear on you about heaven and hell, and not to be playing around with it. Amen. I was all the way in, or I was all the way out. I already knew that I couldn't be playing around, because I already knew where my life would end up. Amen. So with that being said, I'm not going to say I was perfect. I did things perfectly. But once the Holy Spirit came alive in me, it gave me a better understanding and revelation of who Jesus Christ is and where I want to make sure my eyes open up in heaven. Amen. So every day is not a good day. Every day is not a perfect day. But every day I make sure I try to live my life according to what the word of God has said to live it. Amen. So I can open my eyes up in eternity, because it's amazing how, you know, in here we got each other. We can depend on each other, but we there. We got each other. When we get out in this big old world, there's nobody but you and Jesus Christ. Amen. And you got to understand that. Pastor Whistle was talking and, you know, leaving and going to Germany for the first time. And we're from a very small town, very young, being married, very young, going out on our own. And it had to be overseas in a foreign country, knowing nobody. Amen. And we didn't have Jesus then. We knew of him, but we didn't have Jesus. We had each other. Amen. And just think about that. If you're out there by yourself and not knowing, amen, you learn to appreciate one another as well as God. Amen. You learn that because you ain't got nobody else you could depend on. Amen. You ain't got nobody else you could trust. Amen. So you learn how to depend on one another and then to the Father who give us everything that we need. And he provided for us. And we thank God that he protected us. Amen. All those times are overseas and the things that could have went on, should have went on, God kept us. Amen. I lived out on the economy in Germany and he would be in the field 30 days at a time. I'm around all Germans. They speak in German. I'm speaking English, and it's me and my children. God protected us. He kept us. And I think they just typically liked it, my daughter, because she was a little black child. And, you know, if you knew any Germans, you would know how they act to the kids. Amen. So you just favor. Just favor, you know, and protection and guidance. And I thank God for that. You know, so I, you know, eternity is most important to me. Any questions or comments? Amen. God's love for you is perfect. It is no alternative motives. How many of us got some alternative motives? Whether it's in the church, whether it's on the job, or with our spouse, what is your alternative motive? God's love is not an alternative motive. Amen. It is perfect. God's love for you and me is perfect and is always seeking the best for you. It is the purity of God's love that allows us to trust him, because we now know his desires towards us are truly good. Amen. We know that. We know that God's love is pure. And it's for us, not against us, not to harm us, but to help us. Amen. To let us know how we can make it in a sinful world. Amen. To give us that peace and understanding, the guidance that we need. Amen. Even when we come up against stuff that we don't agree with or like, God's love still is there. Amen. We need to meditate on God's perspective of true love. How do we do that? How do we meditate on God's perspective of true love? In the Word of God. Keeping it covered all the time in his Word. And with all that getting, get an understanding. If you're reading something, if you're dealing with something in God's Word and you don't know it, get answers. Get directions. Get an understanding so it can become more and more real to you. Amen. So it can become alive to you so you can know. Amen. Yes, ma'am.
Can read the different stories and situations and things in the Bible, and you can read the same story, I don't care how many times, but you'll get something, a new revelation, thank you, out of it. Yeah, amen.
Amen. So true. So true. No matter what, each time you read it, you can get something different. But each time you get something, it's an understanding. It's a direction. It's a guidance. It's what you need at that moment. Amen. So don't ever stop not reading God's word. No matter what, always pick it up. I let everybody know, whatever you're going through, you can find it. You can find it. It'll help you. It'll keep you. It'll give you understanding. It'll give you clarity. It'll give you a peace of mind. It'll give you directions. Whatever you need, you can find it in God's word. Amen.
I want to say 6 and 9. It was talking about the kingdom. and it was talking about know ye not, and it start listing who shall inherit the kingdom. And it basically tell you, well, it got to that part, it's right behind you. And it says, nor abuses of themselves with mankind. And I've always read through that. And some tell me, just go back, because you really don't even know what that means.
Right.
And then I went back, and it's talking about homosexuality. I was like, wow. And I started looking up words, and effeminate, and they got different words, catamite, words I never heard before. But when I break it back down to the Hebrew and the Greek, it tells you exactly. And abusers of themselves with mankind, I always thought it was just a cantankerous person that liked fighting, you know? But then you got down to it, and it's like homosexuality.
Yeah. Amen. So, yeah, just don't read through it thinking you just going to pass by it. Get an understanding of what you're reading. Look up the words. I do that a lot. If you read it and you don't understand what that word is, you start going to find it out so you can get a better understanding of what you're reading. That makes clarity come to life even the more when you break it down like that. I tell anybody, don't try to read the Bible with all those the and thous and thinking you're going to get a clear understanding. Break it down with a study Bible, with a concordance, so you can understand what you are reading. Amen. Any more questions or comments? Yes, ma'am.
I'll write it at the top of my Bible, so when I go back and look at it again, it's there. And even a word, I had to look up a couple of words the other day, and I said, like, oh, that's what that means. So I wrote it by that word, so that the next time I read that I would understand what it was.
Yes ma'am. Pastor Woods be writing all in the Bibles. I like getting his Bible because he have all kind of stuff written down in the Bible. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Love is the foundation of our faith. The word love in the Bible is the Greek word agape, and it is described as the highest and the most perfect kind of love. Again, love involves choices and determination if it is ever to grow. Without your involvement, love won't manifest. So we got to know and understand, amen, it's a choice. Living out this love walk with Jesus is a choice, and you got to choose how you're going to live it out. Amen. And get an understanding. It's your involvement and your determination, amen, in order to live it out the way God has determined you to live it out. It's all up to you. So with all that getting, amen. 1 Corinthians 13. Oh, yes, sir.
I just want to add, because I was just going to point that out. Actually, she's doing a great job. But out of all those love, phileo love, brotherly love, you got family love, you have emotional love, physical love, agape love, especially like if you look in Galatians 5, that love that he starts talking about and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It don't say Holy Spirit, but that's a capital S. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. And then he goes through these lists, gentleness, kindness, patience. But that agape love is the love of choice. If you don't ever remember nothing about, because people be throwing that word around all the time, but it has nothing that a person is necessarily doing for you. It's a love of choice. And that love has to be manifested in, definitely in churches, but definitely in community as well. Because you're running into all type of people all the time. And, you know, I think it's good to wear a Christian attire. People always be talking about it. I think it's good to wear it. I think it's good to wear a shirt that's talking about Jesus on it, or your church logo, or a hat, or a pen, or walk with your Bible. Sometimes it reminds you that when people step out of line, you can't. And we all need reminders. But the other point of it is that if we spend any time with God and the Holy Spirit, these things will show up. This is what shows up. This is what spending time or just being conscious of God, this stuff will show up in your life. And don't let a church get away with none of this stuff being present. Don't let people get away. When I say get away, it's nothing you can really do other than demonstrate to them what you want to see from them. The thing that you give out is what typically comes back to you. So you don't ever want to let your church or anything that you step foot in consistently go without. It may not always all be there in the beginning, but if you save, you can get this. This ain't like this is hard stuff to get. This ain't stuff that you have to go through a million different trials and tests to develop. Sometimes it's just knowing who God is, appreciating what he done for you, and then trying your best to reciprocate that. We say pay it forward now, but do it towards somebody else, consciously doing it. But it's a love of choice. And anytime somebody say, I can't do it, I can't get over it, they lying, they choosing not to. Because agape love is what? The love of choice. Agape love is what?
The love of choice.
So they say, I can't move past it. Agape love is?
The love of choice.
They choosing not to do it. And how many know that God has sent us tonight? We better say, I'm better than that.
I'm better than that.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity, which is love. Amen. The source of love is God. His nature and personality is love. He expresses his love through his people as fruit. And when I wrote that down, think of yourself, amen. And this Pastor Wilson was just talking about it, so he was getting ahead of me. But Galatians 5:22, when I wrote his love through his people as fruit. So you are his people. So you're a representation of a fruit or fruits, which is Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ has crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. So with that being said, we should be able to crucify our flesh daily and be a representation of these things, of these fruits. These fruits should be coming out in us on a day-to-day basis. How do you smell? What kind of fruit are you smelling like? Just think about that. Because we are a representation of Jesus Christ. Once we get saved, we get delivered, we've been set free, and God is alive in us. And you know, some of us, I don't know, how are we walking around? Are we crucifying our flesh? Is meekness coming out? Long-sufferingness, goodness, gentleness, joy, peace. No matter what, somebody cut you off and driving down the highway, you got long-suffering, you got joy, you got peace, you're going to wave. What you going to do? Amen? Just don't do that. Amen? Meekness, what is your temperance? When you get home and you tired, you don't work an 8-hour shift, you walk in the house and your house in chaos. Everything going wrong. What's your temperance? You ready to go off, throw eggs up against the wall? What is it? We got to understand and recognize that. And no, we are not perfect, but we need to learn how to get these things right, so we can have an easier and better walk with Jesus Christ. Come on, Noel. Come on, Noel.
On talking about the fruits of the Spirit, sometimes I go back and just take each one individually and look up different scriptures on what is love. Am I really living that love and the joy, the peace, the long suffering? Each one, there's scriptures in the Bible for each one of them where we can just write, take it one at a time and write down what it is and write the scriptures and study those. And it'll be a big help to us, especially me.
Yes, ma'am. What's the important thing about this? It's crucifying our flesh. We always got to prove a point to somebody. We always got to let them know how we feel, what's going on. Amen. So we got to crucify our flesh in order to obtain and operate in these fruits. Amen. We got to die to ourselves and the way we feel about it and allow these fruits to come alive in us more and more. Amen. Not just seasonal or when it's good or when somebody is watching. All the time, every day, every moment, every second, no matter what, your fruit should be bearing. Amen. Yes, sir.
I wanted to say, read it this way. Replace that word fruit with the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit is word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy. The manifestation of the Spirit is tongues, interpretation of tongues, gift of healing. The manifestation of the Spirit is the gift of... No, it don't say none of that. Those are gifts. A gift that God give you is something that God is working through you that's supposed to be extended towards somebody else. The manifestation of the Spirit is what God is working on in you. Do you see the difference? Now, where we've got confused at is we have given people a pass for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit rather than the gift of the Spirit, which God is just working in you instantly for the benefit of somebody around you. Now, you do got people who prostitute them gifts, and if you give me $1,000, I pray over you and you'll get your husband. You give me $1,500, I can pray over you and you can get, you know, those are harlots. But primarily what we have allowed people to get away with is the gift of the Spirit that God is using to work for the benefit of somebody else while yet at the same time ignoring what we look like. And do you know something? If you go to 24, when you start talking about this crucifying the flesh, can they get to that real quick? Crucifying the... Do you know that if you allow God to work on those other ones, those other nine, it'll automatically please up those two. It'll police up the affections and the lust. It'll police those up. Our personal affections, our personal desires, our lust, because we get twisted. We think that lust is all sexual, and it ain't all sexual. I mean, we can have a desire for things or travel or sleep, whatever it is. You can have such a desire for it that it's lust. And it's, you know, you teaching good. Go back to 22. But if we read that the way we talk, but the manifestations of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, can go through gentleness, you know, and there may be times where you got to go back and police one of them up. I know I do. I'm looking at something right that I need to police that up. You see? And this is how you examine your own self.
Examine your own self.
Because he's talking about individual stuff right here.
Yeah.
Anybody besides me need to work on some of this? It'll make us a better person. We'll be a better church. Bible study is designed to make us better. Better together. Amen.
Amen. Any more comments? Our expression of love is evident to God. To people, God is love. Our expression, the way we show it, of love is evidence to people that God is love. Amen? The way we express ourselves. So think about that when you get in the heat of a moment, how you express yourself. Because you're demonstrating God's love. Amen? Amen. God is love. Say it with me. The beauty of our Christian faith is that we serve God who so loves us that he consistently seeks to pour out his love to the people of the world. Amen. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Amen. So understand that he gave all that he had for a world of sin. Amen. That's how much he loved us, that he gave his only. Amen. My last point. Amen. Love demands expressions. Meaning, God expressed his love for us by sending his son to save us. And Jesus expressed love by going through with heaven's plan for him to die. God is love. So God expressed his love by giving his son. Jesus expressed his love by coming down here, amen, to show us how to love. Amen. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. Amen. So I wrote down, as I'm ending, some acronyms for love. Amen. And one I wrote down is loyalty over virtual everything. This one I have a better understanding. L stands for listening. Pay undivided attention to the other person, especially if they talk about something important. It means giving time and respect to the other person. O for overlook. We are all flawed human beings, and if we focus on the faults of the person we care about, it will only spoil the relationship. So instead, we should overlook their flaws and focus on their good points. V for voice your appreciation, generally appreciating the behaviors and achievement of people we care about is one of the best ways to enhance our relationship. E for effort. This is possible the most important of all. What efforts are you making to show that you are for the other person? These efforts must be visible and not remain as only thoughts in your head. You have to do something. You have to speak or act in order to let somebody know you love them. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you right now for your word that has went forth, oh God. I pray that everybody get an understanding and begin to take it home and apply it unto their lives. Lord God, we ask right now in the name of Jesus that you bless everyone going out as you did their coming in. It's in your son Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Love on somebody.